朋友，你在收听的是活在耶稣里网站提供的福乐人生讲坛。今天的讲员是李秀全牧师。愿神的话语滋润你的心田，使你能更好地认识神和认识自己，并坚定地信靠神。
因着耶稣基督所受的鞭伤，我们得到医治。
Heavenly Father, we thank you because of the inflictions Jesus suffered for us, we are healed.
因着耶稣基督受的刑罚，我们得到平安。
We have received peace because of what Jesus suffered.
主，我们要响应刚才诗班所献的这首诗歌。
Lord, we want to respond to the hymn that the choir presented to you.
我们谢谢你的慈悲怜悯，谢谢你的大爱。
We thank you for your mercy, your kindness, and great love.
今天早上我们来到你的面前，要向你赞美。
As we come before you and praise you this morning.
主啊，让我们再一次向你表达我们对你的爱。
Help us to express our love to you.
主啊，我们承认我们对你原来是没有爱的。
Lord, we admit that originally, we have no love for you.
因为你先爱我们，所以我们可以用爱来回报。
Only because you first love us that we know how to respond in love.
也因着你先爱我们，我们才可以彼此相爱。
It's only because you first love us that we can love one another.
今天早上求你用你的灵来充满我们。
Fill us with your spirit this morning.
也求你用你的爱再一次来充满我们。
And fill us with your love.
让我们坐在你的脚前，领受那上好的福分。
Help us to stay at your feet and to receive the better blessing.
求你再一次在软弱的人身上显出你的完全。
Show your perfection in these weak vessels.
在你的软弱的器皿身上显出你的刚强。
Show your strength.In our weakness,
我们把以下的时间恭敬的仰望，交托在主你手里。
Reverently, we place the following meeting into your hand.
垂听我们的祷告。
Hear our prayer.
奉耶稣基督的名。
In the Lord Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
王牧师坐在这里，我想起早年他曾经翻译过一本书。
I see Reverend Wang sitting here today. I recall.That some time ago he translated a book.
那本书的作者是 Billy Graham 的妹夫 Dr. Layton Ford 所写的。
The book was originally written by Reverend Layton Ford, who is the brother-in-law of Billy Graham.
在那本书里面，他特别提到有关福音工作的事情。
In that book, he wrote about the work.Of the gospel and evangelism.
我们知道，在过去这两年，去年我们的主题和今年我们的主题都跟福音的事工有直接的关系。
And you may recall the theme last year, as well as the theme this year for our church, also is related to the work of the gospel.
去年我们的题目是“除他以外，别无拯救”。
Last year our theme was "Salvation is found in no one else."
今年我们的题目是福音是上帝神的大能。
This year our theme is the gospel is the power of God.
这两年很明显的都提到福音，都提到福音的事工。
So these 2 years we try to emphasize on the gospel, the work of the gospel.
讲到福音事工的时候 ，Layton Ford 曾经向今天的教会提出一个很严肃、很认真的两个挑战。
And in his book, Reverend Ford came out with 2 challenges to the church of today.
他说今天的教会面临两个危机。
That there are 2 crises facing the church today.
第一个危机就是改变福音的内容。
First crisis is to change the content of the gospel.
第二个危机就是不改变传福音的方法。
The second crisis is not changing the method of evangelism.
我发现在2000年教会历史的里头
，and I discovered in the church history of the past 2000 years,
教会的事工就在这两个钟摆之间在那里摇摆。
The work of the church indeed is like a pendulum swinging between these two crises.
有的时候我们太强调福音的信息到一个地步，忽略了我们活用传福音的方法。
Sometimes we emphasize on the message of the gospel so much that we neglected the method.
有的时候我们太过分地强调要怎么样适应听众的反应和感觉，而牺牲了那福音的真理。
But on the other hand, sometimes we emphasize so much on attracting the audience that we forgot about the message.
我觉得每一次我们提到福音的事工的时候，
when we talk about the work of evangelism,
我们不能忘记 Leighton Ford 给我们提出来的这样的一个提醒。
We need to be reminded by Reverend Ford.
怪不得 Billy Graham 就是他的大舅子，每一次在讲道的时候，一定要高高的举起圣经来说，他的福音乃是从圣经里面拿出来的。
It's no wonder that Reverend Billy Graham, every time when he preaches, he upholds the gospel, the Bible, and said that's where his message comes from.
因为除了圣经所启示的，我们没有福音可以传。
Because there is no other gospel that we can preach.
这福音是不能改变。
We cannot change the message.
这福音是放之四海皆准的。
It can be placed anywhere and it will still be the same.
在任何的时间，在任何的空间里面，这福音是不能改变。
No matter the time nor the space.
但是我们要谨慎，我们要小心。
But then also we have to be careful.
很多时候我们福音传得很准确，但是我们忽略了传福音的方法要有弹性，要活用。
Sometimes we are very careful about the message of the gospel.But we are not flexible in our way of sharing it.
在过去30年侍奉主的经历和学习里面，
I have learned in my past 30 years of serving.
常常提醒我这两样事情不能够偏颇。
And I'm reminded again and again that I have to take a middle road.
在我们教会里面也是一样。
It's the same in our church.
我们要注意传福音的信息，我们也不能忽略传福音的方法。
We need to pay attention to the message of the gospel.And the method of sharing it.
刚才世皇弟兄带我们读罗马书第一章。
Just now we were reading chapter 1 of Romans.
请各位再翻回到罗马书第一章，我们再看13节到17节。
Let's turn back to the Bible and read the first chapter of Romans, in particular verses 13 to 17.
在这五节的圣经里面，我们看见保罗也提到福音的信息，也提到福音的方法。
Here we see Paul mentioning both the message as well as the method.
他不只是把方法和信息摆在我们面前，他还放另外一件很重要跟福音的事工有关系的作为我们的提醒。
In addition, he added another important factor.
十三节，我们上次曾经看过，保罗用结果子来提醒我们传福音的方法和策略。
We have shared this before in verse 13. Paul used the words to bear fruit to describe the gospel.
到16节、17节的时候，保罗特别提醒我们，那个福音的信息就是耶稣基督自己。
And in verse 16 and 17, Paul reminded us the message of the gospel is the person Jesus Christ.
今天早上我要跟大家一起思想14节跟15节。
But today I want to emphasize on verses 14 and 15.
13节讲方法。
First 13 talks about the method.
16、17节讲到福音的信息。
16 and 17 talks about the message.
我们就看到13节、14节和15节是讲到传福音的人他的那个传福音的动机是什么。
And in verse 14 and 15, we see then the motivation for the messenger.
我们把它叫做福音的三个 M.
So we can see there are three M's to the gospel.
一个是 message, 一个是 method.一个是 motivation. 那这三个 M 在保罗在罗马书第一章13节到17节里面是非常重要的三个跟福音有关系的提醒。
So these are three reminders from Paul in these five verses.
上次我们从13节谈到保罗用结果子来比喻福音的方法或者是福音的策略。
Last time we shared about how Paul used the analogy of bearing fruit to describe the strategy or the method of the gospel.
策略呢是照着目标所定的那个方法，我们就叫做 strategy， 叫做策略。
So for us, then strategy is the method to reach a goal.
感谢主，保罗在这里用结果子给我们看见一个非常有意思的一个比喻。
And I think Paul used a very meaningful analogy when he says, I want to bear some fruits.
他说我要到罗马，我要到你那边去，我要到你那边去，有一个很大很大的一个盼望，就是要在你们中间结一些果子。
Said I want to go to come to you in order to bear some fruits.
他用结果子非常生动的比喻来提到传福音的方法，也提到传福音的目标。
So here we see then the goal of the gospel as well as the method.
怎么说他用结果子来表明传福音的方法呢？
How is the analogy describing the gospel?
我们说种花，我们说种菜难，但是我们说种果子是不是更难的？
Even though it's very difficult to plant flowers or vegetables, it's more so to plant and make a fruit tree bear fruit.
因为我们知道种果子树要比种花种菜付更多的代价。
Because you have to pay more efforts and a price.
传福音也是一样。
It is similar with the gospel.
传福音是要付代价。
You need to pay a price.
所以结果子把它比喻成这个传福音是很有意思的。
So I think it's very meaningful for Paul to use bearing fruit to describe the gospel.
因为保罗提醒我们。
He is reminding us.
他提醒我们，我们如果要去传福音，如果以结果子来做比方的话，我们就想到我们要付上多少传福音该付的代价。
In other words, for us to participate in the work of the gospel, we need to be prepared to pay the price.
保罗在哥林多后书他说，为着你们在哥林多教会的人，为着传福音给你们，我费财费力，这就提到代价。
And in 2 Corinthians, Paul described how he gave up financially as well as physically for the gospel to reach them.
因为没有一件事情比传福音更需要花大的代价。
No other endeavor demands more price.
弟兄姊妹，每一件事情都需要付代价，才能够达到那个成效。
In order for us to reach our goal, we need to pay a certain price.
今天在台上讲道需要付代价。
To come onto the pulpit to preach, we need to pay a price.
教会里面有许多的事工要成功，需要付代价。
In order for many of the ministries in the church to succeed, we need to pay a price.
上个礼拜，上一次我曾经提到不同的比方，你做生意需要付代价，你读书需要付代价，你要去比赛球类要付代价。
Last time I used many different analogies to illustrate to you whether it is a business endeavor, whether it is athletic competition, you need to pay a price.
弟兄姊妹，我们今天要传福音，要引人信主，我们不能不付代价，因为传福音，保罗把它比喻成结果子。
To lead someone to Christ, then we cannot do so without paying a price.
那么为什么说这个结果子也是传福音的目标呢？
How do you use then bearing fruit as the goal of the gospel?
上一次我曾经提到，每一个果子里面有这个生命的再生的力量在里面。
Last time I also shared that in each fruit embodied in it is also the seed.For new growth.
我十分相信保罗用结果子来做比方，有他这一方面的意义在。
I truly believe that when Paul wrote these words, he had this meaning.
一个苹果，一个橘子，一个香蕉，一个凤梨，里面有他的生命的种子在里面。
Whether it be an apple, an orange, even banana or pineapple, within it is the blueprint for life itself.
弟兄姊妹，保罗在这里用。结果子来提醒我们，我们今天传福音要达到一个什么地步呢？就是要我们传福音的对象有一天也能够结出果子来的那样的一个目标。
So the goal of the gospel then is to lead someone to Christ, so that that person can in turn lead others to Christ.
这个叫做结果子。
This is the meaning of bearing
fruit. 如果今天我们把结果子来提醒、来反省我们今天教会的福音工作的话。
If we use this analogy to encourage ourselves in our work of the gospel,
弟兄姊妹，第一方面，我们要提醒我们，我们到底付了多少的代价在里面。
We first need to remind ourselves that we pay a price for this.
每一年，我们看见福音营神赐福，有许许多多人在福音营生命受改变。
For example, in the work of our gospel camp, every year we see many people's lives being touched.
但是弟兄姊妹，我们知不知道有多少人在背后付上这个福音营该付上的代价？
But do we realize the effort The level of effort that went into such a gospel camp.
有多少人花时间祷告？
How many people prayed over this?
当然不可否认，有多少人奉献金钱在支持这样的一个福音营的工作。
Many gave financially to support this ministry.
但是每一次我想到福音营的时候，我常常觉得有一点美中不足。
And yet, when I evaluate this ministry, sometimes I feel perhaps there is still some lack.
我们没有看重这个结果的另外一方面的意义。
Perhaps we haven't paid enough attention to the other aspect of bearing fruit.
因为这个果子本身有再生力。
Because the fruit can propagate itself.
那个再生力今天在我们中间比较，我们看起来比较弱。
Perhaps this aspect is weak in our work.
因为我们看见弟兄姊妹信主以后，没有继续的生命原生生命从他的身上显出来。
We do not see an obvious propagation of their life and their faith after they come to the Lord.
这是上一次我提到的关于结果子这一方面，保罗提醒我们传福音的方法，也给我们看到传福音的目标。
So this is the summary of what I preached last time.About the method and the goal of the gospel.
今天我们看第十四节、第十五节。
Now let us turn to verses 14 and 15.
十三节，他提到传福音用结果子的心态来描写。
In verse 13, he described his heart as wanting to bear fruit.
十四节、十五节，无论是希利尼人、话外人、聪明人、愚拙人，我都欠他们的债，所以情愿尽我的力量，将福音也传给你们在罗马的人。
In verse 14, on the other hand, he says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome.
保罗在这里提到他传福音第二个心态是个欠债的一个心态。
In these verses, Paul described his heart as if he has owned a great debt to the people.
他接着这个欠债的态度。欠债的心态来表明他传福音的那个里面的动力和动机。
So he uses this to describe his motivation.
弟兄姊妹，我们做任何一件事情都有他的动机在后面。
Whenever we undertake a certain thing, there is a motivation behind it.
那个动机决定那件事情的意义和价值。
The level of motivation describes to us then the value we place on this endeavor.
刚才我们说用结果子的教训，我们明白，我们了解。
We understand when we say bearing fruit.
但是讲到欠债，我们不是那么容易了解保罗为什么要这样说。
Perhaps it's not so obvious why Paul used these descriptions.
上一次我曾经提到，保罗跟罗马教会几乎没有任何的背景，彼此不认识。
Because first, Paul really doesn't know anybody in Rome.
他从来没有去过罗马。
He has never been there.
罗马教会不像哥林多加拉太教会是他创立的，不是的。
The church in Rome was not established by him like the church in Corinth.
保罗跟其他的教会有深厚的关系，保罗跟罗马教会差不多没有任何的关系。
So even though Paul may have very deep relations with other churches, we can say there is very little relation between him and the church in Rome.
那么这些在罗马的人他都不认识，怎么会他欠他们的债呢？
So if he doesn't even know them, how can he say he owes them a great debt?
我们今天讲到欠债。
When we talk about owing a debt,
我们一定说这个人我认得。
We must say we know that.
我欠他一千块钱。
So I owe that person $1,000.
所以他是我的债主，我是欠债的人。
So I owe that person money.
当我没有能力还他钱的时候，
When I cannot repay,
他从那边来，我就从这边走。
When he comes, I will run away.
当我没有办法还他钱的时候
，When I cannot give that money back,
他是熟人，我把他陌生人看。
Even though I might know him very well, I will treat him as a stranger.
但是保罗在这里却告诉我们说，罗马教会你们这里所有的人都是我的债主。
But yet Paul described himself owing a debt to all these people.
我没办法了解这件事情。
So perhaps this is incomprehensible.
为什么保罗说我欠你们的债呢？
Why did Paul say this?
我找很多的参考书。
I looked through many different
找很多的资料
interpretations on this passage.
一直找不到好的答案。
I did not come across one that truly satisfied.
两个多礼拜以前，我在准备这一篇信息的时候
，When I was preparing for this message,
发生一件事情。
I discovered one thing.
有一位姊妹
，There's a sister.
她从台湾来这边念书。
came from Taiwan to study in the States.
那么她还没有来以前呢
？Before she came,
那么她的阿姨
，her aunt，
那么就打个电话给我们
，called me，
说我这个姐姐的。我姐姐的这个孩子要到你们 Boston 去念书。
My niece will be coming to Boston to study.
那么当时我们就接了这个电话，我们就预备去接她。
After we received that call, we understood we are to meet this lady at the airport.
就飞机误点，折腾了半天，她隔一天才到。
But because of the conflict in the scheduling and some delays, she did not arrive until a day later.
那我去飞机场接她，也折腾了半天才接到她。
And it was a very difficult thing for me to actually finally receive her at the airport.
当天晚上她没有地方住，我们就把她接到我家来住。
Because she didn't have a place to stay for that night, she came and stayed with us.
那么她一到我家
，When she came to our house,
我发现她做一件事情。
I discovered she did something.
把行李一放下，马上从行李里面打开，就拿了一个礼物，是她阿姨要给我的礼物，就给我。
She immediately opened up her luggage, found a gift from her aunt to give to me.
我拿到那个礼物，当然就谢谢她。
When I received the gift, of course I said thank you.
我就回到楼下书房去预备讲道的时候
，And I went back to my study to prepare my message.
我突然懂了这个还债的意思。
Suddenly, it occurred to me what this whole passage meant.
朋友，你收听了节目后，有何感想呢？请你在《活在耶稣里》福音网页下端，点击联络我们，在主内分享彼此的见证，好吗？如果你需要我们为你祷告，也请留言。我们愿主耶稣通过他的真理和圣灵工作，帮助你不断在主里更新生命。